We're back online and we're recording, so let's see if we can get the... Yeah, it works.
Welcome to Ever Beyond, 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 Beyond. On Wolf Spirit Radio, Ever Beyond Radio, and Tir na Sour in Ireland. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
And good evening, good welcome, good morning, good evening, happy Zulu, wherever you are. If you're off planet, you're working on Zulu. So we're about 16 Zulu or 0 Zulu. welcome to everybody. That's a time zone, off planet time zone by the way, if anybody knows. So I'm just going to get connected with Mr. Off Planet himself, who is in my list. But let's introduce you two first, so that we can get the whole thing started. Tonight, my esteemed guest, our previous guest of a couple of times, the delightful Sasha Christie. Good evening, Sasha. How are you doing, my dear?
Good evening, JP. Hi, Cara. I'm doing well, thank you.
And we also are joined tonight by Cara St. Louis. Is that how you pronounce it?
Well, St. Louis or St. Louis, it's really up to you.
St. Louis.
I say St. Louis, but...
Okay, well, welcome to Ever Beyond and to this special roundtable. We've been doing some various roundtables recently, they've been mostly really cosmic and, Healy or all that stuff. So this is nitty gritty. This is rubber meets the road. This is like where things get crunchy and hurt. Who wants to kick off? Cara, why don't you kick off?
Yeah, okay, I guess I can. I mean, I just really want to say, just in the context of the last 10 minutes, every time I try to get on, and Randy will know this, we've probably had this issue, although I tend to have it more with, mostly with Mike Williams, but I'm sure I must have had it with Randy. Usually about 30 seconds before I go on to Skype for an interview like this, something goes down, something goes wrong, something goes awry. And that's all I want to say is sorry about that. But it tends to be me and Skype and interviews. Isn't that interesting?
All right. So let's see if we can draw Randy in from the cold. There you go. Sorry about the delay, Randy. For some reason, you disappeared off my Skype for like 10 minutes, and I've been having to dig into various chat rooms to find you. Now I've got you. Welcome to Mr. Off Planet himself, Mr. Randy Morgans. How are you?
Hey, good evening. Welcome. Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is, wherever you are.
Yeah, by the way, what is your time zone? Where's your time zone?
I'm in Eastern. Wow.
Yeah, Eastern. Right, excellent. So, at 6 Eastern, and here in, we've now got quarter past 11 in the UK. And it's very unusual to have a UK-based Ever Beyond so much, but it's really delightful to have... two of my guests tonight from the UK, so it's really good. It makes a change.
Yeah, thank you for having us, really.
So I want to toss the ball right into the middle of the court and say, who's willing to take up the subject of the alternative media being split by paid shills? How about that?
Well, being split, it's not really split, is it? It's just, it's set in a certain way, and everything rolls the same way, and it's all the same faces talking about the same cases, all of them pretty much in the same places, you know, and that's all there is. And there's all these other people who are wanting to talk, all this like talented that we get called, or you know, there's people who've had experiences or sightings and they want to talk about it, but anybody who wants to be heard gets called a wannabe by somebody who calls themselves a researcher. I mean, you know, there's no qualification in this subject. You can call yourself that if you want, but you can't say that somebody else isn't when nobody's gone to UFO school of journalism, you know. So they're going like, oh, well, yeah, you're a wannabe. No, I'm not a wannabe. I'm actually an experiencer. The researchers, they're the wannabes. They're the ones who suffer from parasitism. They need to latch themselves onto the subject or to people in it because they aren't a part of it, so they make themselves a part of it. And then they start to control it and control who can speak. And, you know, where once upon a time everyone was interested in witnesses. Now, they're interested in the witness and their statement, but they're also interested in or more concerned about what the witness is like and how they present themselves and can they be polished? Are they professional enough? Can we put them on stage? Will they do well in an interview? You know, and oh, probably not, so I'll do it all for them. You know, and then, so nobody in this country can ever make a move. So what happens is we have all these conferences on and the only ones that succeed are the ones who pay for somebody to come over from America to talk about their experiences when there's hundreds of people here who could talk about their experiences, but they want to put bums on seats. Well, why can't they put bums on seats with British experiences? Because they won't let them grow. They just sit on top of them all the time. And then if you find anything out about any single one of them, and all these people call themselves truth seekers, you find out a truth and you put it out there, and what do they do? That one person will get another whole load of people, and instead of proving you wrong, they just set about you, attacking your integrity, attacking to your life, your personality, your personal habits, blah, blah, blah. For 9 months, this has been rolling now with me and Larry Warren and all these little groupies. And they're not actually countering anything that I've said at all with any evidence. They're just throwing back all these attacks, two-hour hit piece radio shows, two of them, little videos and conference talks blaming me for all their woes. When, you know, when somebody threatens to put your windpipe through your spine and end your life right there and then, really, and faster than the security could even react. And people complain to the venue about that because he's non-specific. So, what, you ask him a question and you're going to get attacked if it's not the right question. So the people complained to the venue cancelled on them. I got blamed for that. They got a new venue within the same university. They got wind of it because it was a completely different department, different building, etc. And then they did it again. So to save this conference, Malcolm Robinson suggests to the university staff, well, what if we drop Larry Warren from the conference? And they said, okay, but you need to pay another £450 for security. So they agreed to that on Thursday. The conference is on Saturday. They don't tell anybody. And they make it look like Larry's getting turned away on the door without anyone having any prior clue. It's all just sprung on them. And this £450 that they'd agreed to for security because of this, they're saying it's almost, didn't say it was that, it made it look like it was a bribe. You can only have it if you pay us more money. And so all of that has been put at my feet as well. When I wasn't the person who complained to the university, I've done none of that, other people have. So why? Because I've exposed his lies. And he's got a lot to lose because his entire life is based on lies. So, you know, it's all balls out now with the, you know, both barrels of the shotgun and all these little minions, you know. And he's faked photographs and put them out there. There's one of them, he looks about 50 in a photograph with John Lennon. And it's so bad. And nobody can believe he's even put it out there. They're still going, wait, is he joking? You know, and he's not, and he's selling memorabilia, and, you know, he says that he's the person who authenticates John Lennon's signature, etc., etc., etc. Since when? Where have all these qualifications come from all of a sudden? It's just absolute rubbish. So you point it all out, and what happens? You get attacked for it, but he says he can prove me wrong on every single point. Spent the past nine months crying like a baby and hiding behind people. So, you know, that's the way it is. That's the way it is for everybody. I've seen so many people be attacked over these past few years, never mind 10 years, and people have been in the subject a lot longer than I have. So the past 10 years, all I have seen is people being abused, people being having their things taken away from them, spoken about. You've got no choice in the matter. You have to go to the internet to get some comfort. Well, you don't get comfort. You get abused. And then they take your story, put it in a book. And then, like, in the instance of one of the friends who stood up for me with Malcolm Robinson and his little gang of merry men and women, and he's had her story, he's taken her story, written about it in his book, and because of this, and because she questions him very pleasantly and very politely and very calmly, he blocked her, kicked her out of the group, won't speak to her again, and he's already had her story and he sells it in a book. That is what we're dealing with all of the time.
So it's like really they're your people are being strip mined.
Completely. It's like they're, you know, what is ufology without witnesses and experiences? There's nothing. So all these people are there bread and butter and they're just scoffing it, throwing breadcrumbs around, you know, and burping, walking off, not even a bye, see ya, thanks, nothing. You know, they're just absolutely, they're just parasites. Not all of them, obviously, but this type, this is the conference clique. You know, this is the face of ufology. This is the paid for face of ufology, and it acts like a horrible child in a playground and laughs at what it's doing and laughs at people who stick up for other people, and they just denigrate everything. And this isn't just about me. I'm not going, oh, poor me. I'm going, oh, poor ufology again, the victim again, because this is all it is all of the time, and it is dross. You've got conferences dying every single year. Every single conference is fairies, demons, orbs, a bit of UFO. You might be lucky and get an experiencer. You know, it's all that kind of stuff. But people don't want that. When I've done a survey recently, people want to hear from the people who've seen it, lived through it. And those are the most successful conferences. We've got Gary Heseltine's conference coming up. That'll be a total hit because Travis Walton's coming over from America to talk, a famous experiencer, you know, and he's a really great guy, and I'm glad he's coming over here. And I absolutely love that, the way he is and what he's gone through and how he's ended up being as a person, how he can even get through that, I have no idea. So, you know, I am all for the experiences. I'm all for the abductees or whatever they want to call themselves. But, you know, we don't have to pay for someone to come over from America when there's so many other interesting people here. Travis is an exception because he hasn't been here for a long time. So, you know, but as a standard rule, as things roll on year in, year out, you know, who gets to speak in this country? You know, when there's everyone's being chased off the scene. Half people are feeling suicidal, you know, and that isn't because of their experiences alone. It's more because of the way that they're treated when they try to speak about their experiences, because this field is full of people who believe in it, but they don't believe the people who say it happens to them.
Okay, can I try to get off my soapbox now. Because there were probably 10 different avenues that we could go down on that, you know. First of all, I'm not a ufologist, but I am living in England, and I was closely connected to bases, as you know.
Yeah.
That's the only experience I have is with bases. Now, interestingly enough, because you're pointing out that the British experiencers often don't, or most of the time, don't get any exposure or are not called to speak. So I'm just going to tell you what my experience was with bases and miles, so that you can sort of dissect that as well. Because, like I said, I've done lectures with miles, but I'm not I've not been on that circuit, that speaking circuit in this country. So. I do know, and I think it's probably common knowledge, Richard D. Hall talks about it all the time, that 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, Miles invited Channel 4 to one of his conferences, and there were some experiencers there who were soundly abused by Channel 4. And yep. Because of that, Miles can't get anybody, everybody's warned off his show. So he can't get anybody except whoever he can sort of count on. Cassidy comes over all the time, that kind of thing, you know. And this year, strangely enough, I mean, this kind of, it's tangential, although we should talk about it. I was the headline at the conference that's coming up in about a week. And he, through Christine Hart, invited the BBC and Channel 4 back. And so I said, no, I don't do mainstream media. I'm sorry. I won't be there. I don't engage with the mainstream media.
Especially Channel 4, who every time they've done anything to do with this subject, it's always, always a hit piece.
Right.
Every time.
Yeah, and so I said, well, why in God's green earth have you invited them back, Miles? They ruined your life, you know? And he said, oh, well, Christine Hart's doing a doco. I guess that's short for documentary in Britland.
Mm.
It's a doco. He's just doing a doco. Like somehow that was supposed to excite me into saying, oh, well, in that case, please, by all means, have Channel 4 rip me apart.
Yeah.
But no, so I just had to say, Miles, I can't come because I don't do mainstream media. Well, you know, just like your fellow, whoever this fellow is, I have to admit, I don't know who you're talking about, but, Miles had a temper tantrum, a big fat raging fit, and ripped all of my videos down, all of the bases interviews I had done, and said, you know, we just aren't associated together anymore and that kind of thing.
It's and the biggest favor he's ever done you, trust me.
Well, but listen, then unfortunately, because he was still pissed off, he and I and Max Spears, who we'll have to get into at some point tonight, had conversations about the fact that every once in a while I was seeing Max do some of my material. And I was like, Max, don't do that. You know, I mean, I just have this thing about plagiarism. You know, if you're going to do somebody else's stuff, you have to say where you got it from.
Yeah.
You do. You just do. We all use each other's stuff. We have to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, and then we have our own stuff, you know. Anyway, but it was neither here nor there. Max and I had, you know, Facebook conversations about it, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't that big a deal. But instead of admitting the fact that I decided not to attend the conference because of the mainstream media, he decided to make it a big hairy deal about my stomping off and not wanting to be around Max.
Oh, isn't it funny how they always explain the other person as being exactly how they are? He's
right.
The most stompy, bad-tempered person when he gets that way that I've ever met. So,
yeah,
you know.
But then he and Cassidy have this ridiculous, you know, 5 minutes after Max Spears died show, you know, on what happened to Max Spears, and he brings me into it. He freaking brings me into it and says, you know, well, you know, there was the whole thing where Kara St. Louis thought that Max was stealing her material. What does that have to do with anything? Nothing, right? But, you know, so I guess my point is just sort of outlining what my experience is locally and saying that, every time I turned around, Miles was getting turned down because people were being warned off, because of the Channel 4 thing. So really, I mean, it's anybody's guess why he decided to invite them back again. But anyway, so I, you know, and the other things, you know, just to address all of the in general, there seems to be, and maybe it's just my naivete because I'm just sort of coming into a global presence for myself, but I have been pretty stunned at, and I do think that part of it is stuff that's going on recently. I think I've talked to Randy about this in the last 5 or 6 months. You know, the level of abuse and attack and divisiveness and everything has risen about 1,000%. They're turning, the heat is being turned up like crazy right now. For me, it started with the flat earth crap, you know, the flat earth stuff.
Flat brain society.
The flat earth stuff, you know, it wasn't just that was a theory that people were investigating and fair enough. It was, that was a theory that if you didn't agree with it, you were really in for it.
No, this is a frickin' religion is what this flat earth shit is.
Hi, Randy.
Hi, Kara.
Welcome to Ever Beyond Randy.
Okay, so I maybe have not vented my spleen on this before, but I'm going to let it fly here. These people are the most dogmatic, hypercritical, vengeful, vicious people on the internet. And there is no reasonable conversation to be had in terms of this flat bullshit. I mean, I entertained all of the traditional theories out there, and then I was descended upon by flat earth theory people who proceeded to either tell me I needed to go a little farther or that my theories weren't good enough or that I really was a sellout. I was just playing it for entertainment value, which I was. I found it highly entertaining for
one show. Educate you, they will post you a YouTube video that somebody else has made. It's not anything that they've, you know, this is my research and this is why I think it's like, watch this crap video that someone else did. You know, that's their level of education as well.
I just want to say, you know, for the last few years, this thing has been bubbling up. Mm. And, you know, it's like one of these things, I suppose it's the equivalent of the party of amyl nitrate, you know. You think, I'll just have a go, you know. I hate this. Why did I do that? You know, and it's the same thing as a flat earth video, because you know that 45 minutes in, after, you know, just blah, 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 and all these, you know, sensationalist things and lots of swearing, that they're going to say, and it says here in the Bible, and you go, oh, there it is, slap. You shouldn't have just sitting there all the way through there because you know that this was coming. So to this end, one of our intrepid reporters and hosts on Wolf Spirit Radio, Thomas Sheridan, actually did some proper investigative journalism and asked a proper investigative journalist to have a look at what this thing was. And it turns out that it's a psychological operation by the Iranian secret services to find people who are gullible enough to become radicalized. How about that?
Well, you know, I could believe that, actually.
Well, you know, so listen. the thing is, though, it seems to me that right now, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but it seems to me that right now, every troll, every paid shill, every gatekeeper, every this, that, and the other thing that's meant to slam us down is being turned on full blast.
Well, but I think it's always like that. But I don't think that they need to put the pressure on, because all they needed to do is stop trying to control what we think and then just let us think what we like and chuck a few bits of crap like flat earth into the fray and see what happens. And they'll all be just sitting around laughing their asses off as we all eat each other alive, you know, because when you've got people who are that mentally unstable allowed onto the internet, then, you know, anything and everything is going to happen. Your mind could just run riot, and you could Google it and find it on the net. It's there, something, you know. And all of this crap is our own making. I don't think they really, I mean, like, that might be the case with the Flat Earth Society thing, and, you know, there might be other little things that they've done like that, but really, they don't even need to, because mostly we're all idiots anyway. You know, and we'll make our own crap up and our own belief systems and then charge people for it and videos and all that crap. You know, it's just how people are, en masse or in small groups. What does it matter? It don't matter where you are geographically. You know, there's arseholes everywhere.
Okay, so basically you're saying I'm just getting my baptism in assholes right now. What do you think, Randy? Randy's been listening to me complain about this privately, okay? So he has the inside, you know, scoop on this.
I don't know about inside scoop, but there's been a lot of escalation, and I'm seeing new tactics that are coming up. Some of them are actually kind of surreal, because it looks like now what we are getting is a more refined art of tag teaming, which is quite kind of a switch off on gang stalking, where one small group of people takes over from what would have largely been a larger group, but they trade off, and you're kind of going, didn't I just see this or hear this somewhere else, but it's coming from a different party who seemingly has no relationship at all to the previous parties that were haranguing you, harassing you, or otherwise, you know, making your life miserable online. Mm-hmm. And it becomes kind of surreal until you realize that this actually is how gang stalking works. And it's also gaslighting as well, because what they're really trying to do is perceptually spin you and change you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, it doesn't matter.
It's manipulation of your behavior by, you know, eliciting some kind of response where they have the power, that you giving them your power by, you know, reacting to it in a negative way, or, you know, being injured by that. And you just cannot allow it. You, in your own home, in front of a computer, whatever power anyone has over you is only imagined because they made you imagine it. So, you know, people really shouldn't be running away from it. They should stand up. And when somebody's standing up, they should stand with them. Because especially in this subject, all of the alternative media, there's no rules or standards. And so, you know, it's just sort of absolute free-for-all of cannibals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just accepted that that's the way it is.
In the absence of standards, though, what you would call professionalism, it's kind of the wild, wild west, but it is controlled. And I want to go back for a minute to what you both were sharing in terms of conferences, especially in the UK. Just my observation, UK is kind of the low-hanging fruit right now for conferences because there's a fatigue level in the United States over conferences. They're not pulling in the crowds that they once did, because obviously here in the U.S., the economy has flattened out. Most people here do not have the kind of money that it takes to travel to conferences. Hence why, you know, Project Camelot has taken up and put tents out in Europe right now, because it's still a viable venue for that sort of thing.
Right.
But when you look at the conference structure and you look at the people who have traveled through these conferences, not even year after year, now it's like decade after frickin' decade of how many times do I have to sit here and listen to Richard Dolan tell me about the NSA, and how many times do I hear, you know, it's the same people telling the same stories.
As much as
I like Travis Walton's story, come on, they made a film about this. There's been books about it. Travis has been all over the place. There are tens of thousands of experiencers out there right now.
Exactly,
a story
my point.
To tell.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They're scared shitless to tell their story because they know what's going to happen.
Right, uh-huh. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Randy, and absolutely right. But the thing that I find the most scary right now in terms of what happens when you put yourself out there for a while is that the response, if it's a negative response, for example, you guys both know that I'm having a nice little experience with gang stalking right now.
Mm-hmm.
It has a life of its own. I mean, the best thing, and I've discovered this in the last couple of weeks, because I put a tiny little toe out in terms of responding. Worst thing I could have done, honestly, because it just draws the ire and all of the gaslighting and everything. I mean, it's astonishing to me how almost evil it feels, you know, this, and I think it was Sasha that pointed this out to me a couple days ago. I said, you know, I've got, somebody's telling me that this person who's after me has people swarming my page on Facebook to see, you know, what I'm saying and what I'm doing and things like that. And she said, sweetheart, that's gang stalking. You're being gang stalked. And I thought, damn, I really am. I really am. But, it seems to me that the least crazy part, the least crazy position for me to be in right now, or to stand in, is to not respond. However, it goes on without me. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So how the hell do you even, you know, how do you keep your head above water and all? And you know what else? You know what's, guys, what's really disappointing to me in this is that many of the people who are now gang stalking me were my supporters for years.
Mm-hmm.
And all it took was what? And I mean, what did it take for them to go for my throat? What's the matter with people right now?
it's this emotional investment in their ideology. And if you, you don't swing with that, they might even adopt yours, but then because they think they've become a professional and they, you know, tag on their own little ideology to whatever, and you challenge that or you disagree with that, then they pitch a bitch fit because they're saying that this is a personal attack to the deepest core of themselves because this is their belief, this is their ideal, this is what they strive for, mm-hmm. you know. And then they want you to listen to them and you're supposed to expect that their conclusions have come from a balanced mind.
Right.
And that you should accept them. And, you know, and then the next minute they're screaming in your face, or, you know, you're all blocked. Well, in mm-hmm. In this instance with the attacks that are going on now, they all blocked me. And so they're all, you know, twatting amongst themselves. And I can't, you know, I can't defend myself or whatever. And if anybody else does, they just take the piss out of them and call them fanboys, fangirls, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And, so I just kept a blog and I just kept publishing everything they were saying. I can't see them. They're calling me the screenshot queen, but I can't screenshot a damn thing because right. I can't see anything. So, you know, all of these other people, lots and lots of people are sending me all these things. They've helped me with some photographs to prove that some photographs, were faked. And, all these other people have done all these other things, phoned the police and, the university and all the rest of it. But they can't accept that other people have done that for me for no gain. And that I must have done it all myself and that I'm, somebody said, feverishly, mentally and physically masturbating while I'm doing all this. It's like, I've been sat watching Game of Thrones and getting emails from people going, well, I've written to this person and I've said this and, you know, and all the rest of it. And, oh, here, I've done that photograph for you. Oh, have you noticed this? Have you read this before? Look what I found. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm just putting it all out there and they're going, we're not reading her shit. And then going over all the stuff and repeating all the things that they've always said when I've completely debunked it. So, yeah. And then they think that I'm in this, what, boiling bunnies and stabbing the keyboard with knives when I'm sat here and I'm going, oh my God, I can't believe how mental they are. And people are going, I can't believe this. I can't believe that they've said that. And this has been already proven. And it's like, yeah, but they haven't read it and they refuse to read it. I don't know if they're like, oh, we're not going to give her the blog hit or whatever when I'm getting 7,000 a month anyway. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, yeah, well, I'll be all right. Fine. Because of all this, my blog stats have gone completely orbital, you know, like, wow. Because they hate all this. They hate it as much as I do. They cannot stand the fact that this is ufology. It's not, it's yes. ufology. You know, there's no substance to it.
Mm.
Who cares about Roswell anymore, for God's sake? You know, please.
Well, you know, this actually started, and this is another sort of sidebar, if you don't mind. But
as long as we can come home at the end,
yeah,
and,
yeah.
and not we're not left in the middle of a field naked, never. Shivering, you know, the whole thing, right, you know, like right. Where did I come? How did I get here? You know.
Well, and just sort of well, a couple things really. The way I looked at this thing that I started to look at this thing that I'm going through right now. First of all, it's someone protecting her territory. Okay.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this, Randy was talking about this, I think, that people have territories and there's only so much to go around and they feel like, it's theirs and they don't want anybody invading the territory. So that's basically what it started as, which of course I had no idea that that was an issue. But, the other thing is when this first started for me, I tended to look at it like I just went kind of had an experience with an ex-writing partner of mine and realized that most people didn't even catch the story as it was unfolding, Randy. You know what I mean? Most people were like, what? Something happened? What? With Harold? Do you know what I mean? And I thought, you know, most people aren't going to catch this anyway and it's going to come and go and blah. And maybe that's just how this
but
whole
that
thing
is,
works.
That is what happened and it happens a lot. Because the narrative gets broken by the very high noise to signal ratio. If you put information out, it is the goal basically of all of these mechanisms, the electronic, the human side of it as well, to basically blur the communication. So when something happens like what happens between you and Harold Caltavella, that gets blurred into the recesses of, oh, look at Kara, isn't she a bitch? She just threw a partner under the bus, which is what most that's the way that thing goes.
Yeah.
Because people want drama, and it's good drama. I mean, that's just perfect. It's kind of like, whoa, you know? But
right. Right. The fact that he said he was possessed was neither here nor there, right?
Clean communication is very difficult to do in this environment. Unless you turn off, you have to turn off the comments on the website.
Yeah.
You have to almost divorce yourself from Facebook, Twitter, and all these other social media. And you have to put out a very didactic message and just go, that's it. I'm putting it out. That's what I said. It's done. We're not going to talk about it.
Yeah. But the one thing, Randy, that and this is I've brought this to you before to you before in the last few months, is after the basis thing, almost immediately after the basis thing, is when it really started to ramp up against me personally, and that felt very much like an AI thing, and I just identified it as an AI thing. I can't prove it. I can't like put something in my hands and say, oh look, here it is. See this proves what I'm saying. I can't do that. But what I can say is that almost immediately I felt like I was being chased by the Borg in a way. People were coming out of the woodwork. I felt like maybe once I'd left the bases project, I was seen as something of a loose cannon while I was in bases, I was at least controllable, if that makes any sense.
It is one of the worst groups. It's the most sinister group. I was told by somebody in there who was talking about cloning and he's telling women not to have their pap tests because they can clone you from themselves more easily, apparently, he said. I said, why are you saying that? I said, you know, we do these blood spot tests at birth. You know, that if they want to collect that, they've got it. So he's threatened to snap my neck, you know. And I mean, seriously, I'll give you my address so you can come round here so I can snap your neck. All right. I'll be there in half an hour. Yeah, right here.
Right, right.
You know, like, but, it attracts that element. Seriously.
Well,
it's like
then,
a big black goo.
Yeah. and then though, as I went through my days in the few weeks that followed that, I literally had people whom I didn't even know walking up to me, getting right in my face and starting to like scream, foul nonsense at me. And then that would stop and they would be shaking. They would be so wound up. And then that incident would go away, but it was like incident after incident after incident, and it was just bizarre. It was
your street theater, isn't it, with the targeting? When
yeah,
they do
yes,
things like
yeah.
that, you know, yeah. when they're coming up, and there's people staring at you as they're walking past, everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, that's all part of being targeted.
Right.
And they know all that, and they do it just to further beef up the myth.
Yeah.
And then you've got people saying, oh, I'm the one who does the mind labs. Oh, well, come and talk to me then. Oh, disappeared forever now, you know.
Right, right.
You know, honestly, it's so sinister. And the fact, I can't even believe that he's, invited Channel 4 into another.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, but that group, and because people they promoted James Caswell, he got 12 years in prison. You know,
right.
And that was part of that conference that you were talking about. And that happened to my friend who was really, really ill, afterwards. And, you know, we've been real close friends ever since then because I was supporting her through it. And I was also part of that, Channel 4 program, you know, the film, that Amash conference.
Mm-hmm.
But when I found out how bad they were, I just completely divorced myself from them. I made a big stink about what they were doing. When Joanne Summerscales was going to do the checks thing with children, I told her, you're staying away from the kids. You know, I will phone the police on you. And she said, are you quite mad? I said, I'm fucking furious. I phoned the police on her and, social services, and somebody else phoned social services and the police, because that's what she was egging for, to mm-hmm. get children experience together with the parents just to see what had happened. What
yeah,
are you
yeah.
mad?
Yeah.
You know, so obviously I've made a stink about that. That's another attack of mine. That's me. Mm-hmm. As Ben Emlinger said on the radio show the other week, I have destroyed people's lives. I'm like, what did I suddenly grow to be the 50-foot woman and I crushed the house and accidentally stood on the dog and, you know, made them lose the jobs and, you know, all the rest of it. No, I've stood up to these kind of people and that's me attacking them. But they are dark, they are sinister and they are only self-involved. But they attract all of that and then they let it all happen. Miles lets all that happen.
Right, right.
You know, it's like the whole subject in that little group, it just feeds off that because they're doing it to each other. Then they're going online and saying, oh, I've been gangster. Oh, I've had this happen today, da, 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 da. And yeah, of course you have.
Yeah.
I tell you, here's the thing. It's something to do exactly with the Channel 4 and the whole TV thing is that he's basically putting a, you know, filming an aquarium and throwing a few, you know, predators in with some, you know, herbivores in there. Yeah. You know, just filming what happens because that's what people like to watch. You know, get the bums on seats. It doesn't matter. Exactly. It doesn't matter what you're sacrificing here.
Right.
And, you know.
Who you're sacrificing.
Yeah, exactly. Because, and here's the thing, you know, this is not where I'm at. And everybody here knows that. And we're here to bring the truth through love, through the communication. That's what we're here for. So anyway. Right. So anyway. Having said that, we've got various threads.
That's the thing. Yeah, and there are probably six things to pick up.
But they all have a common source. You know, in the end, it's basically there are people who are waking up and there are people who have had early waking up experiences who can possibly share some of their insight and maybe even gain some comfort by, expressing their stories because it's important for people to be heard. That somehow between there, we can make this change that we're all going through a little less abrupt. However, there is another group that is saying, no, we shouldn't let that happen. And we keep milking everybody. And that's how we make money, because money's important.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there is a contingent in our business that the last thing they really want to see happen is for things to get solved. Because then that's the end of sort of the gravy train, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this should be making everything obsolete for all of us, at least to a certain extent as we go through some of this, right?
I certainly hope to hang up my headphones one day.
Yeah, right? Although there's just so much. I mean, Randy, you put this thing on Facebook a minute ago. Oh my God, what'd you do that for? The aviator thing.
Oh, the avians.
Yeah, that's
part of that was just serendipitous early morning drinking coffee research when I came across that.
I bet you anything it goes.
Does that before breakfast, huh?
So yeah, this was, I'm trying to find it right now and I can't. So basically it was just a definition that showed people what the aviary was, which was basically a military side project of people who were handling specifically the UFO arena. In other words, to continue to put out different types of information. If you look, and ufology is really just, you know, one microcosm of the bigger picture going into the paranormal and alternative research. So if you just look for a minute at ufology, how splintered and fractured it is, and how many different narratives there are, and people driving those narratives, and yet we never seem to get to a base level understanding about what's really going on with it. It seems like it's just endless stories and endless woo-woo, and frankly, there is a lot of bullshit in ufology. There's a lot of crap there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that want to make money at this because it titillates, it excites. I mean, they rebooted X-Files last year and boom, ufology kind of scaled back up to heights again because there was a mass media interest in it. So you know, you have to remember that the back end of all of this, let me say this kind of advisedly, some of your most prominent people out there in these fields are serving a bigger agenda. Mm-hmm. Their paychecks are not what you think they are.
Right.
They receive money from various revenue streams, and yet at the same time to get to do a buy-in, they will put up a PayPal button and tell you how poor they are.
Right. Right. No, I agree with you completely. I'm really starting to see a bigger picture here, Randy. Absolutely.
I've seen a lot of GoFundMe accounts, from these people, you know, and one of them was for $250,000.
Yikes.
For living expenses and things like that. And, you know, like seriously, yep. Seriously. And I just could not believe what I was seeing, you know, and I have seen quite a few of these, support my radio station, GoFundMe things and, you know, I need medical expenses, and all the rest of it, you know. And I've had like messages, private messages from people who will not entertain me for a second asking me for money. $250,000 to live for a year. I thought, yeah, that'd be nice. Wow.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting into this avians thing, Randy.
Well, this is something I've heard of several years ago.
Okay, so
is the aviary. So tell us about the aviary. And is this something to do also with someone called Scarfatti?
Woven in there. That's in there.
Okay,
real simple answer is that there's a document online. It's called Monarch, the New Phoenix Program. It's edited by a man named Marshall Thomas. I posted these on my Facebook page this morning. There's a place where you can read it on slideshare.net, and then there's also a download link at archive.org where you can download a PDF or an EPUB copy of it. And then there's also a Vimeo movie as well, which I haven't had a chance to watch yet. So the overarching thing is that all of these projects, which came out of the CIA, but not just the CIA, British intelligence, CIA, Mossad, KGB, Japanese intelligence agencies, all of these agencies worked together. You know, there's a lot of symmetry between all of the different programs when you talk to people who have come out of mind control programs anywhere. So, for instance, you know, Max Spears' story has overlaps with some of the people that we've talked to in the U.S. So this aviary program really is part of an earlier program, Operation Bluebird, which was designed to be a mind control program. And the way this works, really, they install memes into the system. Now, we live in an electronic age. Back in the 60s, when these programs were designed, we didn't have an internet, but they did. Mm-hmm. They were studying the effects of electronically mitigated data back in the 1960s because they had the earliest versions of ARPANET and backplanes already running between universities and military industrial complex places. So it's not a stretch to say that this is well studied, that when they put these memes into place and they use words, trigger words like bluebird, blue avians, the aviary, and they give them very specific definitions, they then use those as trigger mechanisms for projects that they're doing. So under the headline of all of this, you have, again, high-profile people. And, David Wilcock is probably one of the biggest people out there. And what a lot of people don't realize is that David Wilcock is a handler of media. He is he is one of the people who is handling other people inside of the media theater stream at any given time. And most people don't realize that how many people go to Wilcock for an answer. I mean, he's Captain Wilcock. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? You look at the guy, but you look at what he is doing. He has promoted well, Benjamin Fulford, the even people that I have interviewed and talked to that I have to say I've had to walk away from now because of the fact that I realized they were deceived, I was deceived, but they will never admit it. Corey Good was pulled into a jackpot bonanza with David Wilcock and Gaiam TV, largely as a way to do a money-making project, but it also is on the back end another PSYOP, another black budget way to keep these memes going out there. The secret space program, which there is truth in that. I mean, there's truth in the secret space program and what they've been doing. But the details that have been put out, and I watched this and many other people watched it as well as it evolved, especially on Project Avalon forum, a lot of this data was planted there to be mined by people like Randy Kramer and Corey Good. I mean, I'm not calling anybody a fraud here. All I'm saying is you have to parse the data and look at the narrative. The narratives have shifted over time, especially with Corey Good.
Yeah.
So the avian thing, it's a trigger word. It's a meme. It's a vibe that's been put out there to trigger programs and to keep people in a certain state of constant excitation over the next drop of data coming from Mr. Wilcock or Miss Cassidy or Miles Johnston or whoever the gatekeeper is that's allowing this data to flow out. Because trust me, what they don't want to come out won't come out. And the body count on the floor of the alternative media when you start running the real numbers is pretty high.
Yeah, you know, actually, Randy, now that you mention it, you know, I've got this face stuff that's just come out. I rolled out the lecture, The Maiden Voyage in Australia, and the reality was I wasn't letting it be pushed the way they wanted it pushed, because I don't agree with the way they want it put. Do you know what I mean? My research and my data was not leading me in the direction that they wanted it to go. And so it's another thing for me that's probably gotten me into a bit of hot water for me to say, no, I'm not going that direction. That's not what I'm trying to talk about. That's not what I'm saying at all. You know what I'm saying?
You don't fit into the controlled narrative. There has been a controlled narrative out there.
Yeah.
That basically keeps things pretty much in line. They'll allow a little bit of eccentricity. They'll allow things to stray off the plantation a bit, but they will pull it back in eventually.
Right.
And when it gets too messy, when too many things prop up that are inconvenient, things will get shut down. They'll get modulated. They'll get moderated. They'll be controlled in some way so that they'll just make that go away, because that's part of it too.
Yeah.
The collective memory drain that happens. People don't remember 6 months ago, much less 6 years ago.
Oh, do you know, I talk about this all the time. It was like, you know, there was the Horizon disaster and then Fukushima and all of this. And then 5 minutes later, nobody's going on about it when they were absolutely screaming in your faces a couple of days ago, you know, and it's like, whoever talks about that anymore, talks about any, it's like just swept along wave of nonsense after nonsense. Just,
do you know what it reminds me of?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I've got four chickens, right? I got two hens, three hens and a cockerel. And they come along to my door with the expectation that they're going to get food.
Yeah.
And the way they come up, they have this, and it's really cute. And they give you energy by this kind of cuteness of like, oh, please give us some food. You know, and this is what I'm feeling, is that people have a behavior that is like that. You know, it's like there's not only sheeple. There are other farmyard animals in action here. But
there's meeple.
Yeah, meeple. But we all have these fragments, these threads in us. And these are the threads that are triggered because of ancient PTSD triggers, and that's how people get mind controlled. And so they play a game on us, and I'm going to segue this really, really cheaply into the cheapest segue possible. We're going to listen to a Wicked Game now. No, we don't. What's happened to it? It's, I just clicked the on button and it just went all the way to the end.
Go to the wiki.
Yeah. Wiki
yeah,
game.
Yeah, okay. All right.
No, it well, didn't work at all. There we go.
It didn't work. No. So we're still on. And
we're still online, yes. I don't
have to behave myself.
Yeah, don't swear yet. This, don't swear right. yet. Hang on a second. I'm just finding something else. Let's try Eurythmics. Let's see if that works. Did that work? Nope. Nothing's working. That's totally, that's totally
not
pants.
Happy with that.
Yes. All right. Well, let's not break then. Screw it.
Yeah,
you may just have to mute your mic and swear a bit if you need to, like, let off the steam.
Well, no, I think that, topic of mind control, this topic of, you know, molding us into the beings that will just, I mean, molding us into the herd, the school of fish, that kind of thing is something that, I've been writing about and talking about for a while now. But the scary thing about that is it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper, you know? I looked at this thing that I just came across, Randy's thing on the aviary, and I thought, God damn, I thought, oh, I can't start cursing. I thought, damn it, that goes right to what we're talking about. Right there, we're going to find that that's, you know, it's meme after meme after meme after meme, you know? Well, you know what? I used to work for the People's Voice. There you go. How's that? And I was being interviewed by, God, what's his name? Richie Allen. And are we still on?
Yep, totally. Okay. We're definitely on. Yeah,
okay, I don't know. It felt like my computer went down. Anyway,
yeah, no, we're listening.
Yeah, so I'm being interviewed by him, right? And we're talking about one of the earlier pieces of work that I did. And he was asking me some questions, and I thought, while I was getting ready to answer the question for the billionth time, that was the very first time in my head I thought, there's a hamster wheel here. It's a freaking hamster wheel. And we're going around and around and around and around and around and around. And there's a whole, you know, universe of, technicians who have been employed and trained to both to create and implement these hamster wheels, you know? And, it's our job to find a crack in those, I think, right now.
Well, it's our job to find self-made ones rather than ones that have been indoctrinated, you see. And again, I don't want to blame my own trumpet, but, you know, I grew up from the inside. And so, you know, I learned all these things by myself, like Randy did, I imagine. Randy, you're a trained engineer in some way?
I'm not trained in anything.
Exactly. So you're self-trained.
I have an IT background, but it's not in engineering.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you've trained yourself how to do this stuff. And this is the Starseed program. Isn't it?
That's another story too. Where do these things come from? These gifts we have that, you know, we kind of explode out of this. I didn't have a computer career. I just wound up dealing with computers because they felt right to me, which comes out of some of my own background. So, you know, computers just became second nature. Learning a programming language was just really easy for me.
Wow. That's amazing, because it would be like cutting my own hand off.
Oh, amazing. See, the whole point of all of this is what I keep trying to tell people on our shows. Everybody is extraordinary and everybody has stories, and some people have like really dark stories lurking in their background because I know because they talk to me. I mean, you know, I could do 100 hours a month of conversation. Sorry, I got a train whistle in the background.
All right, it's all right.
Probably sounds like I'm in the
it's
in
great.
My backyard here.
It's really great. See, Randy, to us it's exotic. You know, to us in Britain, that American train with that harmony.
I'm sitting here.
Chattanooga.
Beautiful afternoon, just enjoying. Anyway, there's a lot of people that have stories. I think the people in this audience have stories. I'm looking at the chat room. I see people that have stories. Mm-hmm. And so why are we listening to the same dozen bunch mm-hmm. of talking heads all the time writing the same shite on the same websites when there's mm-hmm. so many interesting and marvelous stories out there to tell?
Right. Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
That's five major beef and the old.
How is that for beef? Not answering a question?
Yeah.
Well, in response, I'd say look.
Thing, isn't it? Answering a question with a question.
I'd say look on Wolf Spirit Radio. That's where you find these upcoming people who have had their own experiences and they're doing it for themselves and we're showing them how to make their own radio stations and have their own books.
Write their own books.
Yeah, write your own books.
Who to talk to if they want to have their life story written about.
Howl out your story. Yeah. That's what it's about.
You know, maybe that's the whole key right there. You know what, Randy? Maybe that's the whole key. What I end up sitting here thinking is, okay, but how do we stop the people who are doing the things that they're doing? Well, maybe the way we stop people doing the things they're doing is just ignore the kingdoms. Stop trying to build these freaking kingdoms that you're talking about. 8-10 people rolling out the same stuff over and over and over and over. And just concentrate on bringing these, because people are, not desperate. That's not really the word I want. It's necessary for them to tell their story. It's necessary.
Yep. It's part of the healing process is talking about what you've gone through. If you want to get over something, you have to talk about it.
Right.
And it's best to talk about it to people who've gone through a similar kind of thing. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the incident was, the reaction to it, the recoveries, you know, they are kind of standard, depending on personality types. So, you know, there aren't that many of those. So you can kind of, you know, like the grieving process is a recovery process from these unusual experiences, for example. Yes. You know, but you don't know that unless you told it or you've talked to lots of people and I did that as well. Oh, I went through that. And, you know, and then you can say to people, well, it rolls like this for a while. You know, until you can normalize it, and the only way you can normalize it, and it's this unusual, is to surround yourself with people who have a similar kind of thing that you can just talk to at any point in time. So it doesn't become normal, but it is normalized in the way that you can deal with it when necessary, instead of keeping it all inside.
Here's the other side of that, is collectively, there's a collective memory that wants to come out. And this is the part where mediation in media stifles all this. If you go to a conference, and I used to go to conferences, I'm done with it because I've seen what it really is. But if you go to a conference, there's a stage and there's a podium, and usually now there's a screen and there's, you know, PowerPoint presentations. There's nothing wrong with that inherently, but what happens is a disempowerment of the audience. Yes, maybe you get a panel discussion, maybe you get a Q&A at the end of all of this, but the disempowerment comes by the fact that the people on the podium are perceived in a power structure situation where they are the center of attention, and everybody sits there and they give their power over to this thing called the stage and the speaker and the host and all of the other principles involved with it. Now, a good conference is where people break off and discuss and talk to each other, and you hope that happens. But I can tell you that there's a lot of groupieism that goes on in these conferences, almost to the point where it's disgusting. I mean, after a while you just go, oh my God, how much of a line is this guy going to have for people to walk up, shake his hand, and tell him how great his work is?
Right.
You know, I saw that repeatedly in conferences. But there's a collective story that comes out when we allow people to flow with each other in a certain way so that, you know, this is my detail. It may not match yours, but it may match somebody else's piece.
Right.
When you're talking about mind control, you're talking about a global process that's been going on for 100 years. It's been going on forever, really. It's just technologically been perfected over the last 70 years.
Right.
So I hear the stories that people were telling, and they're afraid because they're going, but my experience wasn't like that. And I'm going, no, your experience wasn't like that because this is you. Because whatever you experienced through your situation is unique to you because that's how this works.
Yeah, so you know what, Randy? I'm sorry.
I just want to say that, you know, what JP was talking about empowering people to speak, empowering people to write, this is so great, and it does not take away from the work of researchers such as both of you who are on tonight, Sasha and Kara. We need people who are professional researchers, and we need people to publish, and we need people to push information out there in a very concise way. All of this works together. There isn't one to the exclusion of the other.
Right. Well, you know, it just reminded me, though, that it's just been in the last maybe 3 lectures I've done, Randy, that I've used one of those screen additions to my lectures, because I talk about the imagination. And so for me, that seemed ridiculous. It seemed like I should be telling people, well, there is no screen because I'm talking about the imagination, so why don't you just go ahead and use your imagination, you know? But then I caved, because I was at a conference in Vienna, and I was with this really amazing man who was doing a presentation. His name was Henning Witte, and he said, no, you really do need something like that because it helps engage their subconscious. Well, so now I have these presentations, but what I do is before I get started, I say, look, I may or may not use it. I tend to just diverge. I tend to go off on tangents and this, that, and the other thing. And then I explained to them that this is what had been recommended to me. And I said, now you think about what I just said. You think about that when you're at a conference and you're looking at a screen, that it's there to engage your subconscious. So you need to be very careful what you're looking at. You know?
Yeah, I mean, images can be, they can wrap themselves around a message. They can be triggering. They mm-hmm. can do any number of things.
Yeah, it's that easy. But,
we have a responsibility as communicators to be aware of what we're presenting visually, mm-hmm. even in terms of the cadence of our voices sometimes.
Right.
How does that impact people?
Right, right. Well, and it was also, I don't know why, I think I'm only back from Australia for a week, but it kicked my butt, the jet lag this time. And somebody, I think it was Jay today, told me, what did you tell me today, Jay, about coming back from Australia and all those hours in the plane?
Oh, that's right. It's a common airline staff thing now, is that more and more of them are leaving because they're basically receiving a lot of x-rays, like loads of, you know, a whole year's worth of x-rays on one flight. And, I'm exaggerating a tiny bit, a wee tiny bit, but you know, it's like more than you think. And
it's a 22 hour flight. You might just be receiving that much.
Yeah. Certainly there is going to be some radiation, but if you're going to be flying at night when you're on the dark side of the earth, you should be all right because you're not receiving the rays from the sun, which is what the problem is. But you're getting
anyway,
the rest
so
of
that's
it.
My big
meanwhile.
Excuse.
Yeah,
that's my big excuse tonight for being a bit incoherent. However, the other thing I was thinking about, if you'll indulge all this free association I appear to be doing right now, is that this person who's, yeah, I know, right? There's this person, the person who's after me right now is using this argument. You ready? I use the imagination as the foundation for everything I do. I think that that's our most powerful, it is the most powerful tool, it is the most unique thing that we have as human beings, and so forth. And the argument I'm getting from Australia is, but, you see, my research indicates that it's really all about love, so that's wrong. What she's saying is wrong, because it's really about love. Now, I'm sorry, is that mental, or is it just me?
Well, she's, no, it's just, it is completely detached.
Yeah,
from
well, she's expression.
And, you know.
Like, what?
I am right and you are wrong in this completely, you know.
it's about love, goddammit. And if you don't do what I say, you're gonna, you know, I mean, come on. So I don't know. Anyway, I'll stop free associating. You guys talk now.
It's all, I tell you, it's all about the feeling. And, you know, I want to come back to this because it is all about the feeling. All of these things, all of these mind controls put us into feelings that cause us to behave in a particular way according to the way we've been triggered and conditioned, whether organically through, you know, accident or through deliberate things like MK programs and stuff like that. So what, you know, what the whole aim is really is to obviate the ability to be influenced by that kind of thing. Exactly. So to be able to de-trigger all of the things from the center. And the center is a very ancient, grief in my humble. It comes back to a very, very ancient grief that is played on day after day in the press and through mind control programs, and it uses exactly the same trigger. And if we can heal that trigger, then suddenly the human being no longer is subject to any kind of mind control because they are empowered.
I'm really interested, though, in what you're saying. So what is the ancient? Can you talk about that?
Well, it goes back a few weeks, and I came across this this very ancient feeling, and a series of feelings that I'd kind of regressed myself through, using a very simple process that I've been doing on the radio and everything, and doing with people in sessions and discovering more and more. And it came back to a very, very old story, which is very, very real in our lives, and it still happens all the time. And it expresses itself as a sense of not quite being whole and being incomplete and thinking and feeling that there's someone or something missing and that this someone or something missing is lost and can never be found somehow. That there's this.
And it's a part of ourself. It's a part of our collective self, which was splintered.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this, you could call it any number of things. Mythologically, it is basically what happened as a result of the splintering of the consciousness, the split consciousness of humanity, the splitting of the sexes, which is, I admit, kind of a radical concept, but
it's been introduced before.
But we also go into the place where we're in traumatic amnesia. Mm-hmm. And this was where I was going earlier when we were talking about this narrative, how this needs to come out. We will trigger each other's memories, and that's a good thing. Because the remembering, and that's what I'm calling this. I've talked about this a little bit on some other shows where I've been a guest, is that collectively what humanity is looking for right now is the things that have been wiped from our memory. MK Ultra is a microcosm of a much bigger cycle.
Correct.
That has been going on to humans.
It uses
We go through endless cycles of incarnations. We're wiped. We're dumped back down into the earth plane, tabula rasa, and basically we're left struggling here to figure out who the hell we are and what we're doing here. And by the time we reach that attainment, both individually and as a race, we're wiped again. You've had five extinction-level events that we can trace back in time in the remembering of planet Earth, and all of those extinction-level events, in my opinion, occurred at the moment when humanity was waking up, much like it is now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is what I'm talking about over the last 200 years, right? It got ratcheted up over the last 200 years, you know? But, and actually, when it's an event like it's manipulated, like it has been in the last couple of centuries, three centuries, that really makes me angry. They need to stop taking it away from us. Do you know what I mean?
But this stuff, it's so long ranging. Who the hell does it benefit? Who are they thinking of when they're implementing these things?
I'll tell you the way it is.
Hundreds of years in the future.
The way it is. It's like a farm. It's like pâté de foie gras.
Beautiful.
They stress the pâté, it's like veal. They stress the animal and it tastes sweet to them. They stress the human and they squeeze our energy out and it's sweet to them.
Right, exactly.
It's like those chickens looking up at you.
It's that predator, that parasitic predator. And yes, they are feeding on us. There's no question about that.
And we're all like the, you know, archetypal boiled frogs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Just sit and take it. It's just, especially in this country, I am so sure that this is just one massive social experiment now. You know, the way that everything is rolling out, everyone's pitched against each other, it's absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just doesn't feel right anymore.
That's right. That's why we have to take a deep breath and sit back and say, hang on a second, how did all this start?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So from my understanding, it goes a long way back, long before Earth. Right, I'm going to use a time machine sound effect. There we go. A billion years ago.
That was more of a fairy sound effect, actually.
It's very fairy.
Because we're going back to Lyra. We are going back to Lyra. And Lyra was very fey. It was Avatar, you know, it was Pandora, that sort of living connection that we had with everybody else.
Right.
And it was attacked by the reptilians, and we scarpered, and we were killed, and they destroyed planets. And the whole grief of losing our brothers and sisters is that pain that we all feel.
Right.
And if we can heal that, and we can quite easily by taking a journey back there.
Well, maybe that's what's missing. Maybe
that's right.
We all feel abandoned.
We do. Now, hang on a second. Abandoned. That's the reptilian part of us.
Mm-hmm.
Abandonment issues.
Yes, because the reptilian.
I'm always looking to the sky and saying that, well, it's coming back in a few thousand years, so it won't matter to us because we'll be just nothing.
All right. You want to hear something? You want to get one over the reptilians? You want to get one over the reptilians?
Mm.
All right, here's the thing about the reptilians. The reptilians were an accident. And they're very upset about anybody finding that out. Mm. Right? The reptilians were just a laboratory accident that was flushed down the toilet. And basically Ninja Turtles. All right? Can I just say Ninja Turtles? That's the reptilians.
Mm.
Right? And they have a chip on their shoulder, as we say in Britain, about
right.
that. And their issue is being abandoned. And being devalued, being trashed, you see? And then they go around imposing their trauma on everybody else. So they trash us and they abandon us and they trash everybody and abandon everybody and mess about with everybody and do what they do. Act in a really sort of dreadful bikerish kind of way. But the problem is that the Lyrans have completely forgotten about all this. Although some of them didn't. And they're the ones who went forward in time to create the Pleiadians and to regroup and retrain as super soldiers. Super soldiers who could, you know, although Lyrans were very kind of fey and you know, they kind of hardened up and created a race who could actually do battle and prevail over reptilians. Hence the destruction of Maldek and the battles between humans and reptilians ever since. So, everybody's reeling around because we're in the middle of a war and nobody knows where it all started. And that's where it all started. And that's why we're all upset. And that's why we have a feeling of that we're missing someone. And this whole twin flame rubbish is actually capitalizing on this connection that we all had with each other, and we all love each other, and we shouldn't feel guilty about loving each other.
With the mind control and all this, you know, the psyche shattering,
yes.
is that we've been told that this thing is an external thing, that it's something outside that we need to pull into ourselves that will make us feel whole. One of the things that really, really hit and total nerve with me and changed the way that I reacted to things was just, like you say, a meme, and it said, if your compassion does not include yourself, it is incomplete. And I thought, yeah, well, I'm always horrible to myself about myself, but somebody else that I care about in my position, I would be like, oh, poor you, oh, la, 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 you know, and all the rest of it. What can I do to help you? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? But I don't do that to myself. Punish myself for not doing that. And this sense of dissatisfaction is our own, because we're looking for something outside of us, and it's not, you can only feel what you feel. So that feeling has to be inside of you, and you have to be happy with who you are. and what you do and how you do it.
There was another one. There's another one, and that's where is laying underneath what you just said. The sense that you haven't done enough, that we've failed in some way, and that we haven't done enough. A lot of us felt, you know, we could have prevented it, but we couldn't have, because we had no idea what they were going to be like.
Well, I'm still doing things, and I know I've got years ahead of me of doing things, and I feel like I haven't done enough. It's not like, yeah, but I've still got loads of time to do loads of things. You can only do so much in the amount of time that's gone past.
You can. There's only certain amounts of time to do things. Meanwhile,
it comes down to the mindfulness, doesn't it? And being here now.
And being effective in the body. And being in the body.
Yeah.
It's a lot about is being in the body, because most of the time we can't be in the body because it's uncomfortable. And we've kind of, contorted ourselves so that we avoid certain feelings and stuff like that.
We don't really know how to, because we're projecting ourselves into a future point in time when we've done that. You know, but negating the process, so the process never happens.
Hmm. So one of the things that I'm just going to interject here just
Please.
Briefly. One of the things that I work on, and I will probably work on until the day I die, is getting people to understand that that the primary thing that we've let go of as we've gone through all of these things that you're discussing, this beautiful expression of, you know, the things that you've expressed about this wound that we've had forever, and, you know, all of these absolutely true things that you're saying, is that the one thing that we don't use that we have that makes us unique in the universe is our imagination. This is one of the things that I write about, okay? And as long as we're throwing ourselves around everywhere outside ourselves, or looking inward, as long as what we're forgetting that we have, and very much we've been trained to forget that we have this, is the imagination, which is the translator between the morphogenic field and the material plane. Mm-hmm. We are we are uniquely powerful in this universe. I write about the Fae, okay? And I think that we're probably talking about the same thing, Jay, in lots and lots of ways. It's just that that's my
one of the Lyran races is known that way. Yeah,
that,
I believe so. Yeah.
Is that it's absolutely a seed race for this planet, but I'm just coming into that, you know? And my research, the research I use primarily comes out of Germany. So, but the reality is that any one of us at any given time is powerful enough to stop any of this by using what this mighty, mighty tool that the parasitic adversary can't even locate, doesn't even have the organs of perception to see, much less use, but wants very much. And that's why we see on this planet, that's why we see this false creativity, you know, things that are created that are not enlivened, things that are dead, you know, anything that's like cloning or a computer or, you know, these attempts at creation that have nothing to do with life. They're not enlivened, but that's what human beings can do. And I think we must go there and attach ourselves again to the understanding of really who we are, what we have, and how easy it is. If you can imagine something different, it will happen immediately. We know, no one really argues the notion that if I think something, it happens, or if I imagine something, it can be made, or, you know, we kind of all know.
Well, you create
about
everything from your imagination,
but
don't
let go of it as our source of power.
I agree completely.
You know?
Indeed. Because we are creating their world. You see, and here's the thing, Kara. It takes us all the way back to the beginning of the show, and you were saying, you know, all these people are drawing my attention, and I feel like I want to give them attention by saying, you're wrong, yeah, I'm going to refute you.
Right.
Yeah, bollocks, as we say in London. It's just like, yeah, don't go there. Don't even bother, because you're just giving them your attention. So what you do is you focus your attention on what you actually want, and you use your magi nation. I imagine nation. I create my nation as a magician by using my imagination for positive purposes.
Right.
And
exactly.
That's what we're all here for. And the more mindful you are, the more you realize that that is the case, and you can be more and more mindful and more focused and create greater and greater things. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the more you do that, people come to you and say, how can I help you? Or, how, you know, that's amazing what you're doing. You know, can I pub, you know, and they ask you to do things that are like, can I do this? And it's like, wow, yeah, brilliant. Cause that's exactly what I need. And people mm-hmm. come to you and the whole thing grows and snowballs in that way. And it's only through love.
It is amazing, isn't
and
it?
And you know, I got a message the other day. It's through love and love alone that we make the changes. Mm. So, Randy, I know you have to go. Have you left already?
No, I haven't. Actually, I can stay on.
That's lovely.
Changed that schedule item, so I'm good.
But, yeah, I've missed your voice. Please. Please, let's have some elder wisdom here.
Wow, those are shoes I cannot fill. It's funny. And I've gone on radio shows lately. I'm now described as one of the long-standing veterans of independent media. And I'm like, when the hell did that happen?
5 years is a long time. 5 years is several lifetimes, you know, in this, for the last five, actually, you know, just talking, you know.
No. I think, you know, what's interesting is we've kind of moved the conversation forward a lot. From the beginning, when we kind of had this victim status thing going on, what they are doing to us. So mm-hmm. we come to this marvelous place, you know, here about 90 minutes into it, where we're really starting to look a little bit more at the creative aspect of this. When Kara's talking about the imagination and, you know, being able to move out of a place that's disempowering and dark. I mean, there's two sides to all this. We have a shadow side, and to deny the shadow side means that we never complete the work because that's there for a purpose. To live in the shadow side would deny the creative ability to come out of that shadow and begin to reach up into light. So, you know, I've really enjoyed watching how this conversation has evolved kind of marvelously towards, something that's positive and creative, because that's the place we have to go. I'm sort of delving right now with media. I've put my show on hiatus for about 5 to 6 weeks because for months now I've been saying we need something different. We need to do something new. I don't know what it is. We need to create something. I just sense that things are shifting very quickly now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on every scale, everything from our biology to our politics, you know, every aspect of humanity right now is in very rapid development.
Because it's lies that are crumbling away and
yes,
things that are being seen.
Yes.
And it's hard when this kind of change is going on, but then you have the horror of the discovery, but then it's like, well, it can't stay like this, can it? And that is change happening and, you know, it's grim, but at the same time, it's good.
A lot of the gang stalking, a lot of the games that are being played right now, desperation moves because they see where this thing is going.
I call it the swan song.
Yeah.
What did Alex call it? The full court press. although I don't know what that means, but I think it's an American phrase.
That's a basketball term. Yes.
Is it? What does it mean?
It basically means that you're going to take your line and you're going to run the shooter up to the net to make the drive. So basically you're going for a 3-point goal.
I think you might need to roll back on that. You're going to take your line, you're going to take the shooter up the drive. And that sounds like I'm going to go and take somebody in my car and kill them. But that's not what you're talking about. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
My God. We have a long way to go.
Thank God we're not a sports network.
It's really good. Cause, you know, again, these are part of the, you know, there's the gladiator games to keep us all divided. Oh, red versus green, you know. Mm-hmm. Red versus blue.
Now, here's something interesting.
The Olympics are going
on right now. And, you know, a young lady I work with out in LA, Emily Moyer, who's my co-host for a lot of my TV shows now, was talking to me this morning and she's going, I knew this was going to happen. And I'm like, what? And she goes, the minute the Olympics open, all of it starts coming out about the pedophilia going on with the gymnastics teams. She goes, you just knew this had to come out. Why? Because the dross wants to come to the surface. So mm-hmm. in the midst of all this glory and these beautiful, graceful athletes and all the things that it could be, there's again this horrid ugliness of the doping and the pedophilia and the financial shenanigans that are going on and all these other things that just besmirch the entire idea that we could come together and have competitive games without being the same kind of
monsters.
Monsters, yeah, good one.
And at the same time, though, Randy, because we tend to have empathy now, it's for a lot of us, it's exhausting watching all this come to the mm-hmm. surface, you know? It's like, oh, because we feel it all. We feel it all really deeply.
Yeah.
We're supposed to. We're supposed to, you know? But because it's all coming now, it's really in there poking at us, I think. It's like a wound now. It's like a, now I'm not saying that it won't heal. I'm not saying it's not supposed to be that way, but it feels very much like,
it would heal if they didn't keep opening it up for you.
It is. Yeah, it's
it feels very open. Yeah. It feels very open all the time, yeah. And you know what else? Oh God, I'm free associating again. Stop me.
Go for it.
You got 20 minutes. Actually, do you know what?
Really funny. How many times have I said, Randy, how many times have I said I couldn't get any of this out until I came to England?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. I couldn't get anybody to listen to a damn thing I had to say in the United States until I came to London, and it, for some reason, I can get it out and back into the States under the radar, riding the wave of this, you know, this behemoth that is, you know, the city of London and all the information that they, you know, throw out into the universe, unstoppable. But then I'm sitting here listening to my new British friends say that everything is crap. You know, it's just impossible in Britain. It's just impossible. And I'm thinking, God, I had to come to Britain to get my stuff back into the US. How weird is that?
Yeah. And I probably have to go over to America to do the same. Yeah.
Well, you know, and here I am. I'm in Scotland and running an American station. That's, yeah, how weird can that get?
You know? Right? It is impossible to get stuff up to the surface in the States, I will tell you. But I'm sure it's like that everywhere.
That's right. And, you know, we're all little portals. That's what we have to be, the people that we came to look for.
Mm-hmm.
Because I came to the internet looking for somebody to teach me more about the esoteric seven rays, about the way, you know, the universe is put together. And I realized that I realized after 2 or 3 years, it's like, hang on a second, I never found that person. Then it turns out that I know more than anybody else, and I'm teaching everybody else about it. So that must be me then. And then, you know, you discover that when you say,
but, you know,
when you teach, but here's the thing, one moment, Randy, is when you teach things, when you share some information with somebody, you then leave a vacuum in yourself for new information that is the next level of that information that makes everything more sensible. It makes more sense of everything as it connects things together. Randy.
You actually completed the thought. Yes.
Yes.
We have to pour it out so that it can be, you can't fill a glass that's full. Uh-huh. This again goes back to the collective conversation that we're trying to have, and why sometimes you have to go someplace else is because you're locked down. You feel like you're in a straitjacket. I mean, mm-hmm. there are times when I'm walking around and it feels like I'm so locked down. I can't get words out. I can't express thoughts. And then there's places I can go, and most of it's in nature, where I go and I stand in the middle of a stream somewhere and I look up at the sky and there's this like arc that occurs energetically and things begin to break out again. You know, it's different for everybody, but really what we're doing is we're trying to get that dry lock that we're in away from us long enough to let the flow come.
Right.
And it's completed by nature. It's completed by other people. It's all about a process that we're all engaging in.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff is being said tonight.
I moved into my current house about a year ago, well, just over a year ago. And it's got a huge garden. There's, I don't know, maybe it's hard to tell because they're kind of all hawthorns that are all bunched together. There might be I don't know, 10 trees in my garden. And there's moss in the grass and there's, you know, mushrooms grow all over. It's a really healthy garden. And I have gone through so much crap last year. I was really depressed and all the rest of it. Moved in here. After a year of sitting out there and connecting with everything that was going on in the garden, the birds, their little routines, all the rest of it, and this attack started, instead of it absolutely pummeling me, it totally put me back on track. And I think it's because I've been able to go out in the garden and it is, there's just so much space, so much sky, so much green, so much of the wind going through the leaves, you know, all the rest of it, all of that nature stuff. Because we sit in boxes. Neil Gould, he says this, that we look at all these geometric shapes all the time, and that's not what our brain is supposed to be processing. You know, so we have to go outside. We have to, you know, counter all of that with all of the other, with life, not with concrete and boxes. And I absolutely agree with that. If you don't feel connected to, you know, this, then you can't feel connected to yourself. And we kind of bumble through life, or, you know, the powers that be sort of have this attitude about them that, you know, they're in control of things rather than contained within these things I think they're in control of and a product of it. You know, this is our only home. This is, we are a product of this environment. We can't control it. We're not above it. We're, you know, we're in it. But we don't see it like that, so we're disconnected from everything. All those little energy lines, they've all been cut. And this is where our sense of incompletion or what this emptiness or this bit that's missing, it's all those things because we're not connected to the things that are around us, you know. And like I say, all the time, it comes back to mindfulness and about not projecting yourself 4 months into the future when you're going on holiday. Or this worry, that worry, the other worry, the worry that you had 10 years ago. You know, we're never where we are. We're always all over the place. So we lose our focus. You say, Cara, that, you know, basically that our, you know, our thoughts do create our reality. If you don't imagine something, you can't start to build it. You know, but you know, that even that message gets lost. If you don't imagine something, how can you work towards it to have it in your life?
So, well, I mean, here's the thing. What would a life without this little irritation be? I mean, it's a bit like living in Scotland in the summer. There's a little creature. I often bitch about these things called the midgie. They're invisible, and you just have to have one in your house. And there's always one in my house. So, you know, I suffer all the time with these things, because just one is enough to just bite you every like 5 minutes. And of course, when it bites you, you can't feel it because it anesthetizes you first. And then it only itches when it's like about three seconds away from having left you, right? You only feel it when it's gone. That's when you feel it tingling and like it's already gone by then. So,
I've got a perfect solution to that.
Kill them all! Sorry.
No. If you've got one in your room, get your blanket, you cover every part of you apart from a bit of your forehead and you lie in wait because I'll tell you what, within 1 minute it'll be on your forehead. You just slap yourself in the head. Problem solved.
Very, very kamikaze of you. You definitely played him.
It works. I'm waiting for it, you know.
Okay. Next time.
Next time, that's how you know. So essentially, that's what we want to do. We want to focus your gang stalkers onto one place and then give them all a big slap at the same time.
Actually, I'm going to be thinking about that, yeah.
See how you can apply the same kind of techniques. And the other thing is, understand what they want. You know, and then just, it's like, you know, the Buddhists, they have the temples and they have a little jar of sweets outside. They also have this kind of maze-like pattern on the door. And that's, the idea is that demons, like, they'll see the sweets and they'll just sit there eating the sweets and following the maze-like pattern with their eyes on the floor rather than going into the room. So,
okay. All right. So sweets, maze-like pattern and let them hit my forehead. Got it.
Yeah. There you go.
anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's one solution. But the other solution, here's the thing, how we deal with midges is we have a little bottle that has got some vinegar and bicarbonate of soda in it, and you pour the vinegar in there, and you make a kind of funnel thing that allows the air to come out, the carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. They're attracted to carbon dioxide, and they fly down into the thing, and then they can't get out through the hole in the funnel, and they eventually die in the vinegar and soda mixture. Anyway, but that's how they deserve it, little blood-sucking vampire, invisible bastards. But anyway, whatever, there might be a metaphysical equivalent of carbon dioxide, which is what attracts them, and vinegar and brown paper.
Well, I think my line in work is the much simpler and faster. Use yourself as bait.
Yeah,
you
that's
go.
Right.
Bish, put yourself. Bosh, bosh, then you're off to sleep.
As I said, very Pleiadian solution. use yourself as bait and then catch them. Yeah, very interesting, very interesting. So look, we're coming towards the end of the show, and it's been a fascinating journey. And, as you say, Randy, it's been, very good to kind of, bring it to some kind of, I always like to bring things to the next step. That's why I call the show Ever Beyond. So, you've enjoyed the Ever Beyond experience, even though the jingle machine hasn't been working particularly well. Hang on. Have I still got Spock? Let's see if I've still got Spock. If Spock's all right, then.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I've still got Spock. That's all right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I like that.
We have Spock. So where do we go from here, guys? Who wants to take on the last round. Here we go. Before the end of the show.
Well.
ding ding.
Yeah, well, you know, there's really not much we can do except continue to go forward. I quite like this idea of removing our energy from the little kingdoms that have gotten formed and putting it back very deliberately into all of the people who need and want and should tell their stories, simply because they're human beings, and that's what we do. We tell stories. We're storytellers, for God's sake. That's what we are. Who we are.
I was going to make that point earlier. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that for me, that's the primary message I personally am taking, is that all the energy needs to be removed from these kingdoms. I always call it the cult of personality, but we're talking about the same thing. If there aren't these little kingdoms running around with kings trying to protect their kingdoms, you know, then we don't have that kind of an issue. And I don't want, the reality is, one of the reasons I was intrigued by the subject matter of this show is I don't want to waste my energy in that way. I don't like the fact that, that there's this vacuum out there, these succubi out there trying to suck my energy. I don't like that. So, you know, for me, it was very useful and very worthwhile to talk to other people about that phenomenon. What is that phenomenon? What does it go to? And what's the exact opposite of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You create the opposite of what you're not enjoying. And that surely will be what you enjoy. Yeah.
I just decided that whatever they thought of me, I didn't care. I don't care about them. I don't care about their opinions on anything else. Why should I care about that? Because it's based on their twisted mentality. And I let you run off at the mouth at me about me, and then I'll understand who you are.
Exactly.
Because you're telling me who you are. You're telling me how you behave because you think that I'm doing that because that's what you would do. So I'm like, I really don't care. You're not having that energy. You're not having my hate. You're not having any of that, because you're absolutely nothing to me. So you're having nothing from me emotionally. Right. But it's like, I'm not going to take it lying down. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it if I have to. And like I've done for months and months and months, and finally now people are seeing what I'm saying and they all agree with me. Anyone who looks at anything that I've put out there recently, they're going, absolutely, you know. So you just have to stay away from the YouTube comments, not read them, because usually they're all just absolutely insane. You know, and just let them eat each other and use your energy for what it is you're doing. Just don't care. Don't care about them. They're not worth it. Literally, but it's a hard thing to do because you have to really decide it. And then every time you feel yourself getting up there with it, you know, and your temper going, it's like, no, I'm not letting them have that. They cannot have that from me.
Right.
You know, and that's how you take your power back from them or not give them it. Yeah. I think, well, that worked for me anyway.
Yeah, it would work and it would be easy, except that, and I'm not saying except, what I'm saying is that there are people around me who are so sort of horrified by what's going on that they're freaking out. They freak out, and then that, you know, tends to freak me out a little bit. But it does.
They shouldn't be freaking out at you. They should be freaking out in a way with each other as to what can you do about it, you know, as a group of people.
Yeah, exactly.
You have so many skill sets. So why can't you figure out between you what skill sets you've got and tackle it that way? Because that's what you're good at.
I think I hope that's what's going on. I've handed the ball back to several groups in the area and said, look, you know, this is a terrorist. You guys got to deal with it, not me. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and as we're saying in the chat room here, Cara, you know, it's the old Indian saying, you know, there's two wolves inside of you. Which one do you feed?
Right.
You know, and really, it's exactly that, but it's just these two wolves appear to be outside of you. You know, there's the there's the ones that are clamoring for your attention, and you know that. All that they're going to do is, and you have the feeling, it's like, oh no, you know, go with that feeling. If anybody ever gives you that, oh no feeling, just let's like say, all right, another time, you know, I've got something else to do that will make me feel better. Mm-hmm. And you do something that will make you happy, that will make you happy. And that's the way that, you know, really, I'm not kidding. You know, I don't care if it's a tax return. I don't care if it's a job interview, you know. If it doesn't make you happy, if it doesn't make you excited to go, you know, to get up in the morning to do it, then your imagination is being used to create a negative reality around you, and that manifests as people attacking you at the office. Because they're actually giving you the impetus to say, screw this for a game of soldiers. As I did in 1990. Screw this for a game of soldiers. I'm going to be a rock star. That's what I thought. Ah, so what? Meanwhile, you see where that led me.
I was going to say, How did that work?
Well, I put a video on my YouTube page. I wasn't quite a rock star, but I got a guy doing the whole, you know, we're not worthy, what's that? Wayne's World, Wayne's we're not worthy World. Thing. Yeah. it's on the top of my page on Facebook. So that's my moment as a rock star. That'll do. I'm there. So, and now I'm a retired rock star. So I can do the radio thing.
Oh, beautiful. That's beautiful. You never have to say anything but that. Oh no, I'm a retired rock star actually. You see how that works?
Yeah.
You There's don't no ever question have to have been, or you never have to have been a rock star.
Yeah.
All you have to do is say, I'm a retired rock star. Get it?
Well, when I grow up, I want to be an astronaut.
I'm not growing up anytime
soon, so.
Well, interestingly enough, I'm a retired astronaut.
Traveling in inner space.
Yeah.
A psychonaut. Anyway. I've heard of the word psychonaut has come up in the last week. It's quite an interesting word. So,
I like that.
Yeah. So listen, we're coming up to the end of the show. Thank you so much for attending and, listening to each other and the zeitgeist, the spirit of the moment. And I think, you know, I really feel we've raised it all up a little notch to this afternoon. So Sasha Christie, Cara St. Louis, Randy Morgans, thank you so much.
No, thank you for having me. Lovely spread. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks,
JP. Very good.
It's wonderful to be back on Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. And hope you enjoyed the sausage rolls there, Sasha.
Oh, yes, they were delicious.
Oh, my. All right.
It's an English thing. It's an English thing. Good night, everyone.